Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of a powerful book written by Jarrett Stevens. But first, here's Dr. Graham with his message, Salvation Once for All.
Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews. It sounds like an Old Testament book. It's actually a New Testament book, the book of Hebrews, and the 10th chapter. Verse 10 says, "And by that will," which is the will of God, "we have been sanctified." Now pause right there and look at that word sanctified. Salvation is in reality past, present, and future. And when you read about salvation in the Bible, you see it in three tenses: past, present, future. You can say, "I have been saved," past tense. I hope every one of you can say, "There was a time in my life when I personally received Christ. I know that it happened. I was there. And I am being saved," which is this process of being more and more like Jesus. That's sanctification. "I have been saved," that's regeneration or justification. "I am being saved," present tense, right now, that's sanctification. When we are becoming more like our Lord, the Holy Spirit sanctifies us, makes us holy. You hear the word sanctuary there. You're a sanctuary of God. The Spirit of God lives in you. And then, "I will be saved." One day, when we stand before the Lord, made perfect, complete, when He comes for us, we will be glorified in His presence. That's called glorification. That's future. So past, present, and future, God's got this. And when you are saved, you can say, "I have been saved, I am being saved, I will be saved." And it's all a part of this great salvation that we talked about, this wondrous truth of salvation. So when you read here in Hebrews 10, "And by that will we have been sanctified," you can just substitute the word salvation. It's salvation. How? Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. And say these three words out loud with me: once for all. And every priest stands daily at his service, talking about Old Testament, biblical priest, offering repeatedly, again and again, the same sacrifices over and over, which can never take away sin. Animal sacrifices ultimately were to point people to the final and full sacrifice of Christ. So now there's no need for more sacrifices. Because once and for all and forever, the sacrifice has now been made. All of the bloody sacrifices of the Old Testament, when you read about these sacrifices, it's all pointing to the blood of Christ, because life is in the blood. And the writer of Hebrews talks about the blood of bulls and goats and animals. This can never satisfy. They could never satisfy the righteous demands of a holy God. You never know when it's over. You keep coming back. More animals, more sacrifices, again and again, more priests. But now, there's no need for this. For verse 12 says, "But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for your sins," underline those words, "He sat down at the right hand of God." The job was done. It was finished. Tetelestai. "Waiting for the time that his enemies should become a footstool for his feet." The kingdom has come when Jesus came, but the kingdom is coming when he comes again and establishes his eternal kingdom. And there will be righteousness and justice. There will be social justice and political justice and spiritual justice. Justice will be served, and all the enemies of God will be defeated. That's what it's saying. And how is this possible? Verse 14, "For by a single offering he has perfected." You know what that word "perfected" means? Perfected. It means completed, accomplished. So by this sacrifice, this offering, this is the cross, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified, those who are being saved. That's you and me if you're saved. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after these days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws," here's the law and the sacrifice, sacrifice is fulfilled, and now the laws, the commandments, are written on our hearts and written in our minds. And then he adds, verse 17, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these sins, there is no longer any offering for sin." In other words, the offering is given, salvation is accomplished, it is done, salvation once and for all. How so? Three ways that I want to show you. Number one, the promised will of the Father. When it speaks in verse 10 of the will, you have to back up really all the way through what the author of Hebrews is telling us. I personally believe it's the Apostle Paul. But the author was very familiar with Old Testament passages and the sovereignty of God overall and the will of God to send his Son. And he said, it is by that will, the will of the Father, that we have been sanctified, that we have been saved. It all starts with the Father in the heart and the mind of a sovereign God. Did you know the Bible tells us that as far as God is concerned, you were saved in his heart and his will and his mind before eternity began? And if you fast forward to eternity future, in the mind and heart of God, you are already saved. If you're saved, your salvation is settled in the heart and mind of God in eternity. So eternity past, eternity future, and everything in between, it is the will of God. Now, it's God's will that everyone hear the gospel. It is God's will. According to the scripture, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Everyone is included, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But it is the fact that we have been sovereignly chosen, elected into this salvation. We have responded in faith to Christ, and salvation is of the Lord. Earlier, we saw in that Revelation passage of the great tribes and all the people and tongues that are in heaven, and they're praising God, and they're saying, salvation belongs to our God. It starts and finishes with him. It is the will of the Father. It is the relentless love of God that brings us and keeps us in this great salvation. It is God's sovereign will that we be saved. And having been saved by his sovereign purposes, we remain saved because this is what he does. Now, Romans 8 is a great chapter in the Bible. You should read it often. It begins in verse 1 of Romans 8 with no condemnation. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We're in Christ. Christ is in us. No condemnation. And at the end, the last verses, speaks of there is no separation from this salvation and this great love of God. Here's what God says. For I'm sure, in fact, Paul is writing this, and it's as though he is just sort of ransacking the universe, all of the creation, to see if there could possibly be anything that could separate us from God's great love and salvation. He says, but I'm sure that neither death nor life, angels, nor rulers, speaking of demons most likely, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God has promised never to leave us or forsake us. His love never ends. His love is eternal. Human love fails. God's love cannot fail because God cannot lie. He always keeps his promises. Who among us would be the first to stand today and say, oh, God is a liar? No reasonable person would say God is a liar because God has never lied. He is morally incapable of lying. He is truth. God cannot lie. Every promise in His Word is true. And if God promises us salvation, if He promises not only to save us, but to keep us forever, He will keep His promise. Sometimes we hear people talk about falling out of grace. Can you lose your salvation? Can you fall from grace? There are actually churches that teach that you can fall from grace. But when I read my Bible, I don't read of anyone who falls from grace. I read of many people who fall into grace. And let me say, if you are a believer and follower of Jesus Christ and you have failed the Lord in some way, and we've all sinned, but your sin can never separate you. In John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29, Jesus said this, "I give them eternal life." Let me ask you a question. How long is eternal life? It's not a trick question. Eternal means eternal, everlasting life. You say, well, you know, you don't get eternal life until you get to heaven. Now, that's wrong. Eternal life, you don't get eternal life when you get to heaven. If you wait till then to be saved, that's too late. Jesus said this in present tense. I give you eternal life. I give it to you now. So salvation begins the moment you believe and receive Christ in your life. You were dead, now you're alive.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, Salvation Once for All. God is leading you on a spiritual journey from the highest mountaintops to the lowest valleys. And every step brings you closer to Him and to a deeper understanding of His purpose for your life. We want to help you embrace that incredible journey by sending you an exciting new book from Jarrett Stevens, The Mountains Are Calling. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to PowerPoint. And today, your gift will be doubled by a generous matching grant, helping take the gospel even further. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message, Salvation Once for All.
So eternal life is forever life. And look at it again. He goes on to say, and they will never perish. Never means never. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. That's the nail-scarred hand of Jesus. He said, no one will snatch them out of my hand. And then he doubles down. Verse 29 says, my Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Well, could Satan do it? Well, don't you know if he could, he would? You belong to God. Satan's the accuser. He can wreak havoc in our lives, but he cannot snatch you from the grip of God. We are held by the omnipotent grip of God. And that brings me to the second reason we believe in the security of the believer, which is the perfect work of Christ. When we paused and read those verses a moment ago in chapter 10 about the perfect sacrifice, the perfecting work of Christ, the offering of the body of Christ once for all, the single offering, verse 14, is perfected for all time, those who are being saved, the forgiveness of sin, all of our sins. This is all based on the body and the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. The divine accomplishment of what God has done for us, not what we could ever in a bazillion years do for ourselves. We cannot save ourselves, but it is what saves us is what keeps us. For the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. The blood is sufficient. The cross is sufficient to forgive us all our sin who believe in Him. When you are saved, not only is something subtracted, but something is added. What is subtracted are your sins. All of them. Past, present, and future. Too many people think that salvation is just getting a fresh start. God clears the deck, cleans you up, and says, go for it on your own. No. It's not just a fresh start. It's salvation. All our sins are forgiven. And think about this. When Jesus died, you'd committed none of your sins. All of your sins were in the future when Jesus died for your sins. There is no sin that you may commit in your future that would disqualify you from going to heaven, because your sins have already been paid in full at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And He remembers our sins no more. He's already forgotten it. And you haven't even done it. You say, well, if I thought that was true, then I'd just go sin all I wanted to sin. Well, you don't know the first thing about grace then. Because when you have experienced grace, you know that the same grace that saves you, sustains you, strengthens you, grows you, changes you. Grace that is greater than our sin. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. So don't say, if I believed all this once saved, always stuff, that I'd just go live a reckless life, a sinful life. No, you wouldn't if you're saved. Because you'll live the rest of your life with gratitude to God, and you'll come again and again to seek fellowship with Him in prayer and forgiveness and seeking His forgiveness. But it's already done. It's already accomplished. It's paid in full by the blood of Jesus Christ. One more thing. The promised will of the Father, the perfect work of the Son, once and for all. I mean, if you could send away your salvation, just logically, to be saved again, quote, Jesus would have to go back to the cross and die for your sins again. That's impossible. So all your sins, the work, the perfecting work of the Son, and finally, the persevering or the preserving witness of the Spirit. Because verses 15 and 16 says, and the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after this, this is the covenant that I will make with them, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. The witness of the Spirit is when the Holy Spirit lives in you. And you see what I'm doing here? The promised will of the Father, the perfect work of the Son, and the preserving, persevering witness of the Spirit, the triune God, almighty God, all in on saving you and keeping you all the way. I love Philippians 1:6. He who began the good work in you, that's the Holy Spirit convicting you of your sin and converting you to Christ. He who began the good work in you will perfect it, perform it, complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the sanctification. It's happening. It's already happened. The Holy Spirit. We talk about, theologians talk about in this truth, this doctrine, the perseverance of the saints. The perseverance of the saints. It's really the perseverance of the Spirit. The Spirit of God perseveres. And what He starts, what God starts, He finishes. even to the degree that He's praying for you right now. Did you know the Holy Spirit is your prayer partner? Did you know that Jesus is praying for you? Look in a few passages back in the chapter 7 of Hebrews. Hebrews 7:25 says, consequently, I love that word, as a result, He is able to save to the uttermost. That means all the way. Those who draw near to God through Him, since He, watch it, always lives to make intercession for them. That means Jesus is living, He's praying for you. His Spirit is praying within you. He is at the right hand of the Father praying for you. So listen up. You're going through a problem, you got a trial going on in your life, you're struggling, maybe you're suffering, maybe you're facing temptation, an addiction, and you're struggling. But if someone told you that right outside that door right now, Jesus Christ was there on His face praying for you, praying for you, don't you think you could take anything knowing that God in Christ is praying for you? Because after all, who believes that Jesus always gets His prayers answered? I do. He said that my Father always hears me. So if Jesus is right over there praying for you right now as a believer, you can face anything in your life. I mean, it's wonderful when Christians pray for us. We need that. Brothers and sisters, but Jesus praying for us. It's an amazing thought, isn't it? Well, let me tell you something. The distance makes no difference. He's in heaven at the right hand of the Father. He's praying for you right now. Doesn't matter if He's over there or there. The fact is, He's interceding. He ever lives. And what is He praying for you? Oh, this is so good. He tells us in John 17, which is His high priestly prayer for believers. Verse 11, and I am no longer in the world, but they that are in the world, and I am coming to You, Holy Father, keep them in Your name. Keep them, which You have given Me, that they may be one even as We are one. So He's praying for His followers. He's praying for His disciples. And He's saying, here's what I'm praying, Father, keep them. He adds, verse 15, I do not ask that You take them out of the world, but that You keep them from the evil one. So He's praying, these disciples who are going to face Satan himself and proclaim it, He's praying that God would keep them. Father, keep them, not out of the world, but in the world. Keep them, Lord, all the way to the end. Say, wow, that was a great prayer for Peter and John and Andrew and those boys. We should pray that for me. Well, look at verse 20. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who believe in Me through their word. Now He's talking about you and me. Now He's praying for all of us who are believers. He's saying, I'm praying, Father, keep them, hold them. Never let them go. They belong to Me. Salvation is of the Lord. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. What God has willed, what the Son has worked, and what the Spirit witnesses in us that we belong to Him forever is salvation once and for all in Jesus Christ.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and today's message, Salvation Once for All. God calls each one of us to know and experience His Word, living it out in practical ways to impact our world for Christ. That's what PowerPoint is all about, and that's what you can make possible for more people across the globe through your gift today. And thanks to a $50,000 matching grant, your gift will be doubled. We'll say thanks for your support by sending you a copy of an inspiring new book by Jarrett Stevens, The Mountains Are Calling, to help you get a clearer view of who God is, who you are in His eyes and all He's calling you to accomplish. So call now to get your copy of The Mountains Are Calling when you give, and your donation will go twice as far to proclaim Christ till the whole world hears. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
Life today runs 100 miles a minute. It's Mach 5. And from the moment we wake up and the moment we finally put our heads on the pillow, there are so many things, thousands of things maybe, that are vying for your attention. But it's in the midst of all the stress and all the hustle and the hurry of life that we need to seek God's peace and God's grace and the promise of God's word and wisdom. And that's why I want you to spend time with the Lord every day, growing in your faith, developing as a disciple and follower of Jesus. And the Word of God in your life will help you develop spiritual muscle and strengthen you as you live the Christian life. This is the reason I want to really encourage you to get my daily email devotion PowerPoint today. We take God's Word, a specific point of it, and a promise in God's Word, and we deliver it with an application every single day. So many write to me or let me know how much the daily devotional means to them. And so I believe it will be something that would add blessing and strength to your life, help you manage the problems and the stresses and distresses of life. PowerPoint today will help you get the most and the best out of your life as you walk with Christ every day. So here's all you need to do to get the daily devotion PowerPoint today. Visit jackgraham.org, jackgraham.org, and sign up for PowerPoint today. That's jackgraham.org.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Jarrett Stevens' book, The Mountains Are Calling, as our thank you. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. Or text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. And remember, PowerPoint is a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. Well, join us again next time. Dr. Graham brings a message about the importance of Israel in God's plans for the world and for us. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.